I'm going to turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, Old Testament, book of Joshua chapter 1. Again, reading at verse 1. I want to speak to you a few minutes this morning about the subject of moving forward with God. Moving forward with God. Joshua 1 and verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.' And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, 'Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess.'" Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would bless it to our hearts. Please speak to your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Moving forward with God. You know, sometimes in our personal lives, we kind of get stuck in a rut sometimes, don't we? Just kind of get stuck in a rut, kind of doing the same thing. Maybe we've come to a plateau in life where we're just kind of coasting along. Not a lot going on. So it is with church sometimes. We get comfortable with the way things are. And we're just kind of holding our own, kind of going through the motions, you might say. But I want to remind you this morning that God has a plan for your life. If you hadn't figured that out by now, figure it out. God still has a plan for your life, no matter how old you are, no matter how young. God has a definite plan for your life. I think all of us are here for a purpose, and God has that purpose. God also has a plan, a purpose for His church. He wants us to move ahead with His plan. Sometimes I think we get so busy going through the motions that we forget that God has a plan and we don't move ahead with Him. God certainly had a plan for this church so many years ago when it was founded. I'm amazed as I read that this church was founded in 1846. Do you know how old that is? That is pre-Civil War, 1846. Of course, the community, the world, people now are very much different than it was in 1846. I would have some of you that were here in 1846 to stand up and give testimony of this time, but I think you're a little shy. We probably wouldn't hear anything from you because you've probably been gone for a long time, right? God has a plan, does he not? God had a plan then. He has a plan, has a plan now. But it usually takes, sometimes when we get in a rut, or a church gets in a rut, it takes making changes if we're going to move forward with God. Sometimes you mention that word change and people start getting nervous, right? They don't want to change. If what's going on now is comfortable and easy, then we don't necessarily want to change. But God is intent on completing his plan in your life and the life of your church. He has intentions with you and I that I think we've yet to discover. God will lead us to that plan if we will submit and humble ourselves unto him. A great example of God's intentional leading is what we read this morning, leading his people toward a plan. This account of Joshua and the children of Israel entering the promised land. And this scripture certainly can be applied to us as well as we seek God's plan for our lives, both individually and for a church. Of course, seeking God's plan largely depends on us, does it not? We need to ask God to change us. We need to ask God to give us a vision for his work, a new, fresh vision for his work. We can't just be satisfied that everything we're doing is okay and that change is not needed. Change is really nothing to be afraid of. Change happens. Change is necessary. We have experienced that all of our lives, have we not? There's changes going on all the time. It's a process, a journey, you might say, to find God's will and purpose for us as individuals and for his church. I know, I think in my entire Christian life, I've been seeking the Lord's plan for my life and his will for my life. I want to be sensitive. I want to have my ears on, listening for God's voice to direct me in my life. And we need to do that as a church as well. Now, before we can move forward with God, there's a few things here we must consider. First off, consider that God does have a plan. Consider that he does have a plan. In our text, from following the death of Moses, God wanted Joshua to know that his plan for Israel had not changed. God's plan for Israel is that they would move out of their bondage in Egypt. They would cross the wilderness and enter the promised land. At this point, as the Israelites stand on the east side of the Jordan, they're in a position to cross over to the promised land, and God's plan still had not changed. His plan was for them to move forward into the promised land. All along the way, of course, you remember the story, wandering around out in the wilderness, 40 years of wandering in the desert. The Israelites often had made their own plans. Many of those plans failed, but God's plan remained the same. It remained in effect. We got to remember that too, don't we? About the plans that we think that we can do, and we start making plans about success and fulfillment of finances and goals and destinations and what we're going to do next week and next year and planning out our life and so forth, and in the church, you know, how are we going to grow? How are we going to reach people? And we make all of these plans, and they seem right to us, but they're not what God has in mind. And so what happens is, when we go off on these plans, our own opinions about things, and then before you know it, we've got ourselves in a mess because we're on our own road instead of the road that God wants us on. A lot of times we make these plans with limited knowledge. They're kind of off the cuff, you might say. But God always has a plan, And his plan is based on his complete knowledge and his complete understanding of the children of Israel. God's plan was to get out of Egypt, to get across the wilderness and enter the promised land. And the promised land is there where his blessings were waiting for them. But what did the people do? They decided to go do their own thing. And so it cost them 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness when it should have just been a short trip. I got to thinking about that again this morning, and I thought, well, how far is it, or how far was it from Egypt to the promised land? And the best that I could tell, it was about the distance between Lexington and New Orleans. About a 250-mile journey. And so, as any good preacher would do, I got out my iPhone, and I thought, how long would it take you to walk to New Orleans from Lexington? You know, you got that map thing on your phone, and you can push drive, walk, or some kind of transit or something. So I pushed walk. It said that it would take you 3 days and 16 hours to walk to New Orleans from Lexington. Now, I'm sure that didn't take into account that you have to sleep somewhere during that time, or you have to eat, or just rest. That's a steady walk. I don't know if any of us could just steadily walk all the way to New Orleans without dropping out. We'd probably drop out, I don't know, about Interstate 55. Would we make it that long? I don't think I'd make it that long. I think I'd have to rest the time I got to the edge of town, don't you? But the point is, why in the world would it take 40 years for these people to make a 250-mile journey? It's because they chose to disobey God. And if you'll follow the track, they just went around in circles all the time. And see, that's what happens to you and I. If we go off on our own, making our own plans, and we don't do God's way and move forward with His plans, we'll just go around in circles. A lot of people today in life, they're just going around in circles, right? Just doing their own thing. Going around in circles, not accomplishing nothing. Not any better off now than they were 10 years ago. And I'm not just talking about financially or anything like that. I'm talking about spiritually. Christians, spiritually, no better off than they were 10 or 15 years ago, going around in circles. So consider that God has a plan, but also consider and believe that God has the power to carry out that plan. Along with God's plan, He always supplies the means to get the job done, the power to do it, and the courage to follow Him. We're always scared to go sometimes God's plan. It's kind of scary maybe to us, but we have to remember that if God gives us the plan and the purpose and the road to follow, that He will give us the means to do it and the power to do it and the courage to do it if we'll first step out and just obey Him. Notice there in verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's the promise that every believer of Christ has. He will be with you wherever you go. Isn't that a great promise? God is with you through the power of Christ. First, though, we need to understand that God's plan is not a matter of our personal opinion. You know, somebody will always say, "Well, I believe God wants us to do so-and-so." Somebody in church, "I believe God's leading us to so-and-so." Well, you know what? Is that your opinion? Or did you get on your knees and pray and hear from God? There's a couple of dangers about taking things in our own hands and not following God's plan. First off, God's plans do not work with the power of personal opinion. In Numbers chapter 14, there was the tragedy of God's people following their own opinions. In verse 1, it says, "All the congregation raised a loud cry. The people wept that night. All the people in Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron." They were all good about that, by the way. "The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives and little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to just go back to Egypt?' They said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" In other words, why didn't we just stay in Egypt? Why didn't we just stay in Egypt where we were fed and housed and taken care of? It was so easy back in Egypt. But what they forgot about, they were in prison in Egypt. They were in prison there. We like it the way it used to be. Why can't we do things like it, like we used to? It was easier. I know. We'll get a new leader, and then he'll take us back to the way things were. That's what churches do sometimes, right? That preacher's pushing us too hard to change. That preacher's trying to lead us places where we don't want to go. I know. Let's get another preacher. And then we'll just go back the way it was. And it was so easy when we weren't challenged to do anything. Let's just go back the way it was. That don't happen here, by the way, right? Yeah, that don't happen here. By the way, moving forward with God means things may never be the way they used to be, right? And really, you don't want things to be like they used to be necessarily, right? Not necessarily. Now we can remember the past and remember the good times, remember the blessings of God, but we can't live in the past and move forward with God at the same time, can we? We can't stay there. We can remember there and reminisce about the past, but we can't stay there. Another danger of personal opinion: God's plans do not work just because the whole group or the whole church decides it's the right thing to do. That doesn't necessarily move God. Call your attention back to Numbers chapter 14, and I'm looking on down into verse 40 now. It says, "They rose early in the morning. They went up to the heights of the hill country, saying, 'Here we are. We will go up to the place that the Lord has promised, for we have sinned.' But Moses said, 'Why are you now transgressing the command of the Lord, when that will not succeed? Do not go up, for the Lord is not among you, lest you be struck down before your enemies. For there the Amalekites and the Canaanites are facing you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned back from following the Lord. The Lord will not be with you.'" So see, the people had decided that they knew the right way to go, that they knew the path to follow. We need to go up and do so and so. But what the problem was the Lord was not with them. You're not going to be very successful if the Lord's not in it, right? Moses warned them. Moses told the people who had disobeyed God that they would not be able to enter the land. And so what happened was the people had a business meeting, and they decided that they would do it anyway. Let's vote on it, right? Let's vote on it. But Moses warned them, don't do it under your own power. Don't do it because all of you decided that it was the right thing to do. Just because we all came into agreement that something was the right thing to do doesn't mean anything unless we prayed and got approval from God, right? God's plans work only in the simplicity of His own power. Again, Numbers 14, verse 8 says, "If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land, and He'll give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. So do not fear them." As long as the people did not rebel against the Lord, no one could stand in their way. The Lord was with the people who did not rebel against Him. They simply trusted Him, and they step by step followed His plan. And because they followed His plan, God tore down all of the obstacles that was in front of them, and He walked with His people to accomplish His plan. You see, when God puts us on a plan and a path, He removes the obstacles that'll stop us or even slow us down, right? He'll remove those obstacles no matter what they are. God will help us to accomplish His plan. Let's not lose sight of that. Let's not lose sight of God's power to accomplish His plan. And so the people were able to move forward with God once they just trusted Him. Again, in verse 9 of Joshua 1 that we read, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God's with you wherever you go." And so that's a promise that we have from God. Consider that God has a plan. Believe that He has the power to carry out His plan. And then understand God's goal for us. As God moves us forward as a church, and each of us as believers to accomplish His plan, we need to understand that there's a goal out there. There's a light at the end of the path. There's a goal out there to be reached. There's a place where God wants us to get to. In Israel's case, God wanted them to possess the land that He promised them. In order for Israel to get the goal, they had to get ready. They had to prepare. Back in our scripture this morning, verse 10 of Joshua chapter 1 says, "And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, 'Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you're going to pass over this Jordan and go to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess.'" Pass through the camp, Joshua. Tell the people to get ready. It's time to move forward with God. It's time to quit thinking about how good you thought you had it in Egypt. It's time to put aside all that wandering around in the wilderness, all those years that you wasted doing nothing. And it's time now to move forward with God. The people had to prepare provisions to make the trip, prepare their hearts to see God move in a miraculous way. The people had to prepare themselves to receive what God wanted them to have. For us, we need to do the same. We need to get ready to move with God. We need to pray for God's wisdom and leadership. You need to pray for your pastor. Pray for the deacons. Pray for other leaders in the church. Pray for those that God wants to stand up and lead, but they've not got there yet. And don't be afraid of change. Ask God to change us first, right? Change our hearts. Believe that it's possible for God to move in miraculous ways in this church and in our individual lives. We hear about God doing great things elsewhere, don't we? All the time. God's doing this. He's reaching people over here. And he's doing this and he's doing that. But for some reason, we don't think he can do it here, Robert. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe they've got a different God than we do. No, I don't think so. There's only one God, right? Makes it simple, doesn't it? We need that. One God. Same God. Same God that did this for the Israelites. It's the same God today. It's the same. Has God decided that he's done with doing miraculous things? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? He's the same God. And so God has a plan for us. He wants us to embrace that plan. He wants us to trust him with the power to carry out the plan. He wants us to move us forward in reaching the goal of completing his plan here in our church and in our lives. God has a goal out there for us, something he wants us to accomplish, and he'll provide the power to do that. But we've got to get together on it, don't we? We've got to get together. We've all got to come in one accord with it in order to move forward with him. Pray that God will give us the wisdom to know that plan. But I got to have some help. Got to have some help. And I got to have your help. I got to have your help. Listen, the ingredients are here. The people are here. We just need to put our ears on, don't we? And listen for God to speak to us. And I'm already seeing that here. I'm already seeing some people stand up and rise to the occasion. Isn't that great? People probably who thought God was done with them. People that probably thought that I'm just getting so old, I just can't. God must not use, can't use me anymore. Let me tell you what. I feel like I'm getting old too. Nah, you're not old. You're not old. I'd always talk about being old at my other church. And, of course, I'm speaking to those that are 20 or 30 years older than I am. And they say, you don't know anything about being old, preacher. You just wait. Just wait till you get to be 70. Just wait till you, and so on. I understand that. But I know one thing. I got arthritis in my hands and my feet hurt every night. Yesterday, mowed the grass, did the chores around the house, came back inside, and I almost wished I hadn't have took out that carpet in the house and put in hardwood, because that carpet sure does feel good on your sore, bare feet. I just wore nice little squishy sandals. But God is not done with me. God is not done with you. When God gets done with you, he needs to just take you on home, right? You're done. Or I'm done. God's not done. God's still got something going on right here. Amen? Amen. If you believe that, stand to your feet right now. And let's pray. Father, we delight in knowing your word, and we pray, dear God, for your wisdom and your leadership, that as we go and as we trust you and submit ourselves to you, Lord, that you will reveal your plan. Father, speak to your people. Father, if there are those today here that don't know Christ as Savior, Father, I extend that invitation to them because there's something great waiting for those who would come to Christ. The greatest thing that we have or we have need of is forgiveness of our sins, and Christ has the solution for that. Salvation through the cross and the shed blood.